This is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, July 20th. I'm Audra McCabe. The helicopter pilot that died while fighting the Gold Mountain Fire was honored with a memorial procession yesterday. Nicholas Dale was transported to Denver International Airport alongside a procession of emergency vehicles along the more than 300-mile route that began in Montrose. 56-year-old Dale was from British Columbia, Canada. His helicopter went down July 12th fighting the Gold Mountain Fire. Dale is one of four firefighters to lose their life battling Colorado wildfires since late June. The procession went to Grand Junction and then proceeded along Interstate 70 through Glenwood Springs, Vail, and Silverthorne before arriving in Denver. And we have a hopeful update on the Gold Mountain Fire. Officials announced yesterday that firefighters have reached 24% containment. The fire was hovering around 11 to 13% containment for the past week, so the jump to nearly a quarter contained represents significant progress. But that number may decrease if the fire grows faster than containment efforts. Officials say that recent precipitation, cooler temperatures, and higher humidity have helped, but some of the fuel remains very dry and in need of long-term moisture. Slight increases in fire activity are possible, but the potential for large growth is gradually decreasing with seasonal moisture. Lightning, brief heavy rains, and strong winds continue to be key safety concerns. Colorado health officials are asking a private prison company to cooperate with a public health investigation at its immigration detention center in Aurora. The investigation follows at least one confirmed case of active tuberculosis at the Geo Group facility. The state says investigators need access to medical records and other information to test and treat people who may have been exposed. Adams County health workers and Denver Health Tuberculosis Clinic have faced barriers investigating the case. The state wants Geo Group to allow investigators into the Aurora Detention Center by Friday. Tuberculosis, or TB, is a serious bacterial disease that normally affects the lungs and spreads through the air. The Trump administration has killed tax credits for renewable energy, fought to end wind farms, and called solar panels ugly. So it's notable that a small Native American tribe in Colorado has managed to keep one big solar project on track. KSUT's Adam Burke reports there's still strong demand for their new carbon-free electricity.
At a recent groundbreaking ceremony, Alston Turtle, who's a Ute Mountain Ute tribal council member, greets more than 100 people sheltered within the white vinyl walls of a party tent.
I want to thank everybody that has had their hands tied to this project.
Over the next year and a half, 270 megawatts worth of solar panels and 180 megawatts of battery storage will be built on tribal land here. Meanwhile, across the U.S., similar projects are stalled out because of federal policies.
We're going through some challenging times right now, especially with the solar projects. You know, but we got to continue to move forward in the vision that we see is right. As Native Americans, we try to be the best stewards of the land and take care of this land that was given to us.
Although its arid reservation edges into Utah and New Mexico, most of the tribe's 933 square miles sits in the southwest corner of Colorado. It's a landscape of arroyos and sandstone cliffs, and at the center, the mountain known as Sleeping Ute Warrior that sustains juniper forests and, until recently, an abundance of flowing springs.
I mean, just in the 30 years I've worked here, I've seen so many of those springs dry up.
Scott Clough is head of the tribe's environment department. He says many here are concerned that climate change threatens ceremonies and traditional gathering practices.
They're going to have Sundance up there, and the spring next to the Sundance grounds is dry. It's bone dry.
For about 75 years, the tribe has had oil and gas development on its land. At one time, Clough estimates that oil and gas revenue may have accounted for more than half the tribe's annual budget. But in recent decades, that has declined.
Oil and gas is very boom bust. And this tribe has ridden that roller coaster, including the scary crash.
15 years ago, the tribe started mapping out possible sites for utility-scale solar projects. At the time, the U.S. was trying to phase out fossil fuels, decrease carbon emissions, and invest in a renewable energy transition. and that meant federal grants and resources for tribes.
They were so passionate about going forward because they had already decided to go big with renewable energy.
Sandra Begay is Navajo and a retired mechanical engineer from Sandia National Laboratories, who spent decades working with dozens of tribal communities across the country on solar development.
We would go to a tribe who wanted this assistance, and we facilitated a three-day dialogue.
In 2015, with support from the U.S. Department of Energy, Begay led a workshop with the Ute Mountain Ute tribe, and she encouraged the tribe to think about energy development as a long game.
Time is different on the reservations. Time with tribes is different. It's the amount of effort and time it takes to do a project, because you're dealing with tribal elections, politics, the emphasis of money or no money, and that's a part of the process you have to get people to understand. Can you think 10 years in the future?
The strategic energy plan produced out of those meetings helped keep the tribe focused on its solar energy goals. They started small with residential rooftop solar. Then came a 1 megawatt array that helped power the tribal casino out on the highway. Here's Scott Klo of the Ute Mountain Ute Environment Department.
Once we put the 1 megawatt plant online, we had a lot more developers coming to us after that.
By 2023, the tribe was homing in on a utility-scale solar development on its lands in New Mexico, a project known as Foxtail Flats.
The geographic location of this is key.
The demolition of a nearby coal-fired power plant left behind a network of transmission lines and electricity customers. And what might seem like a remote patch of desert is actually prime solar real estate sitting at a major energy crossroads.
There's transmission to El Paso, Texas, throughout New Mexico, Utah markets, Colorado markets, Arizona, California, and the tribe has land right there.
But then last year, the Trump administration's One Big Beautiful Bill killed tax credits for renewable projects across the U.S., and the president was openly criticizing solar technology at an August cabinet meeting.
You see these big, ugly patches of black plastic that comes from China?
Meanwhile, U.S. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum issued a memo directing all federal permitting for wind and solar projects to be routed directly through his office.
This memo from the secretary's office created 68 new layers of red tape that amount to a moratorium on solar energy permitting.
According to Sean Gallagher, a policy analyst for the Solar Energy Industries Association, nearly all renewable projects across the U.S. are at a standstill.
36% of all electricity capacity that's planned to come online through 2030 is at risk of not coming online because of the administration's actions.
But the solar and battery storage project on Ute Mountain Ute land squeaked through. In the final days before U.S. policy changed last summer, project partners got the federal ink they needed on their permits.
It fit everyone in frame.
Which is why they were holding shovels and smiling for the cameras at the recent groundbreaking ceremony.
We've been really nervous about this project with a lot of the changing federal policies.
Matt Hevner sits on the Board of Public Utilities from Los Alamos County, New Mexico, under contract to purchase more than half the project's power.
The biggest fear was the financing collapsing to get this project going. Some of the federal subsidies going away and the financing that's required for this project not making the cut with investors. That's why it's so exciting to be out here today.
Other projects may not be so lucky, at least in the next few years. But Sandra Begay, the Navajo engineer and renewables expert, tells tribal communities to think about the current political climate as a kind of winter time. Not a season for building, but a season for research and planning.
Their land is not going away. Their authority to use that land is not going away. You just wait until the time is right, when those customers really want new electrons.
With demand up and energy prices up too, it would seem customers want the Ute tribe's new electrons now, including a new data center being built by Meta near Albuquerque, New Mexico. For KSUT, I'm Adam Burke.
Firefighters battling the Gold Mountain Fire are mourning one of their own, and KVNF is collecting letters, cards, artwork, and thank you notes to deliver to the crews. At the Incident Command Post, there's a board set aside for messages of support, and right now, it could use some filling. The firefighters don't need supplies, but they could use some kindness. Drop your messages off at the KVNF studio in Paonia on Grand Street weekdays from 9 to 5, or at our Montrose studio at 19 North Cascade Avenue anytime. If we're not there, just slip them through the mail slot. We'll make sure your messages reach the firefighters. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audra McCabe.